Our lesson today is based on Matthew, the 14th chapter, from the 22nd verse to the end, which was just read to you. We find Jesus here constraining his disciples to get into the ship so that they would go to the other side. This teaches us that they were reluctant to go. He constrained them to go. We read in the Gospel of John that Christ had fed this multitude, 5,000 people, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And after they had seen this miracle, these people, they wanted to take him and make him king. And now these disciples, they always had that in their minds that Jesus would become their king, an earthly king, that he would rule over the Jewish people. And now the disciples were reluctant to leave this multitude, for they knew that the multitude were going to take him by force and make him king. And they wanted to go along with the multitude so that they would be participants in making him king. This is what they longed for. Oh, to have Jesus go up to Jerusalem, to be set upon the throne, and to drive the Romans out of the land. And them, they would be then his deputies. They would rule with him. But now Christ, he constrained them to get into this ship, actually forcing them to go and sail to the other side. And he spake unto the multitude. We may believe that he was not to be an earthly king. He, speaking to them, convinced them that he did not come into this world for that purpose. And he made this multitude of people depart from him. And he left them and went up into a mountain apart to pray. We find then the disciples setting sail in the ship across the sea, and Jesus going up on the mountain to pray. Many times we read of Christ spending whole nights in prayer. He has given us an exhortation in his word that when we go to pray, we should enter into our closet and shut the door behind us, and we should pray unto our Father who heareth us in secret, and our Father will reveal it and reward us in the open. Christ then gives us an example here by going alone up on the mountain to pray. I wonder how many of my hearers have this custom to go alone, to shut the door behind you and to pray unto God. Have you a little place in your home or outside of your home that you resort to? Or are you a prayerless soul? No desire to pray, no need to pray. God is not your refuge. You have no need to pour out your heart, your troubles unto God. Oh, how many that come to church from Lord's Day to Lord's Day live in a prayerless state. Oh, how many millions of the human race are without God, without Christ, without hope, and without refuge in this world. Are you one of those characters, my heroes? Oh, how sad then is your state and condition, that you have no friend to pour out your soul unto. There may be some here who know a time in their life when they were nothing but prayer. Oh, what a blessed time that was. You couldn't leave your home. You couldn't do one thing without kneeling first and consulting the Lord of heaven and earth to be with you, to protect you, to watch over you. And now it may be that you are in such a state that you have no desire to pray. At times you have to force yourself to pray. And when you do pray, you find that it is but words, empty words. Oh, and what a sad state and condition do God's people come into many times in their life. Oh, how blessed it is when he gives us a little reviving, when he constrains us to go alone in secret and pour out our hearts unto him. Oh, how can we be, as I have just been describing, that we can forget our best friend, our helper, our refuge, our strong tower? We found him to be such so many times when we resorted to him in prayer. And now we forget him days without number. And we have no need, no desire to go alone to commune with him. Oh, may this precious Jesus pour out the spirit of prayer upon us. Yea, we read of him in Hebrews 5, verse 7, that the apostle speaks of Christ, that in the days of his flesh he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him who was able to save him from death and was heard when he did so. May I ask you, is this your life? Do you resemble Jesus? Do you offer up many prayers and supplications that you may be saved from eternal death? All my hearers, are there any strong cries? Are there any tears in your life that the Lord might save you, may deliver you? If so, you resemble then this great high priest. He was up on the mountain praying. Who was he praying for? He was praying for his people, praying for his church, and also praying for himself. As God, he had but to speak, and it was there. And he had but to command, and it stood fast. But as man, he went alone and besought his heavenly Father for help, for strength, to go through the work that God had laid upon his shoulders to do. There was much before him yet that he had to pass through, and therefore we find him upon his knees in prayer. He spent most of the night here in prayer. Oh, what a blessing. You know, some people, they condemn long prayers, and I do too publicly. But oh, what a blessing when we may go alone and then pray. I wonder how many of my hearers have ever spent, say, a half hour alone in your closet pouring out your heart unto God. I'm afraid there are so few that live such a life. And still Jesus teaches us that this is the example he has set before us. And now while he was praying, these disciples, they were in the midst of the sea. And a storm came up, and they were in jeopardy. They were in trouble, for the wind was contrary. These men were experienced fishermen. Often they had been on the sea, and many a storm they had weathered through. But here they are again, in the midst of the sea. One time before, they had been in the sea with the storm, and Jesus was on board. And when it came to the point that they feared that the ship was going to go down, they went to him and woke him from his sleep. And he arose, and he spake to the wind, to the sea, and there was a great calm. But now, Jesus was not on board, and they were in trouble. And Jesus was on the mountain. He knew the trouble that they were in. He knew what they were passing through. He knew that the ship was likely to go down. There may be a soul here amongst my hearers who also has experienced a storm. All my hearers, storms come in this life. If you may be a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, you surely will go through storms. Sometimes they come outwardly and inwardly at the same time. You will experience in this life, just as other people do, that you will be sick. You will be bereaved of someone in your family, maybe. And you will probably suffer losses. Calamities will come upon you, and you will be in distress. But oh, if God visits you with a storm within and a storm without, oh, my hearers, how troubled then you are. These disciples were troubled in the midst of the sea. Oh, when a soul is brought to see by the Spirit that it is lost, that it is ruined, that it is undone, and that it has no Jesus on board. You ever been there? You ever feel that the work that has been begun in your soul was all wrong? Or that the enemy set in and he showed you your past life, your sin, your iniquities. And all you began to doubt and to fear and to tremble, or that you were going to sink and sink into hell below. Oh, you missed Jesus. He wasn't on board. And missing Jesus, you feared if death should come, it would be forever lost. All my hearers, when the Lord visits in this respect, it is that he may come and comfort that soul. And we find Jesus then, knowing his disciples were in trouble, coming to them upon the sea. It was in the fourth watch of the night. But the Jews, they separated the night into four parts. Just as the Romans changed their guard every 3 hours, so the Jews set four parts to the night. And now it was in the last part of the night, around 3 o'clock in the morning. And it was so dark, and the storm was blowing so severely, and these disciples, they feared that they would sink with their ship. And Jesus, knowing their extremity, he came walking upon the sea. How can we explain that Jesus came walking upon the sea? Or he who had made a way for Israel of old through the Red Sea, that they could walk through dry shod. He who was the creator of heaven and earth and of the seas, he was able to walk upon the waters of this sea. How that he performed this, we cannot enter into it, my hearers. But he did come to his disciples upon the sea. There may be a soul amongst my hearers who is in a storm, or who fears that everything is wrong, who fears it's a lost matter. It's undone. And all you are worried, you are troubled, that it's all wrong and that you soon shall perish. Oh, let me speak a word of comfort to your immortal soul, if the Lord would use it. Jesus is coming. He knows your troubled soul. He knows what you're going through. He's waiting till the fourth watch, that when there isn't any more helpers, but when it's all undone on your side, then Jesus will come. As he came to his disciples walking upon the sea, and they saw him in the distance as they were toiling with their ship, they saw him and they thought it was a ghost. They thought it was a spirit, and they became afraid. They were frightened when they seen this vision coming upon them on the waters. Oh, my hearers, can't you picture these disciples looking into the darkness of the night, looking into the midst of the storm, and there they see something coming to them. Oh, that's enough to make anybody afraid. You ever been on the sea? You ever been in a storm? You ever been going up and down and up and down on the waves of the sea? And then in a dark night, that's enough to make anyone afraid. And then to see something like this, oh, they cried out in fright, it says in the Bible. Oh, my hearers, I wonder if any soul has ever been in this position. As I go along, I'll try to give you a spiritual interpretation of how it goes on the way to heaven above. Oh, many times we imagine things in our minds, and our imagination sometimes makes us afraid. It brings us into trouble. And our imagination sometimes brings us to the position of these disciples, that we begin to see things as if death is coming, as if we're going to be lost forever. All we imagine in our minds, the day of judgment sometimes, and then we're going to stand before that tribunal, and we're going to be cast away. Such are our thoughts. We imagine so many things in our minds, which probably will never be true. These disciples, they seen this, and they cried out in fear. Haven't you ever cried out in fear? Have you ever been like these disciples, so affrighted because of the things that were running through your mind, and Satan coming in, and as an enemy pursuing your soul and telling you it's all wrong? You never were born again. You never were led on the narrow way. Look at this and look at that. Oh, my hearers, these things are enough to frighten any living soul. And now these disciples in this state and condition, they heard a voice speaking unto them. And this voice came, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Oh, how suitable are the words of Jesus Christ. How he knows how to speak the right words at the right time, at the right moment. So he did to these poor disciples in the midst of this storm. Be of good cheer. Oh, my hearers, there isn't anyone that can cheer a despondent soul than the voice of this good shepherd. Oh, we are for the more part as people so cast down, so mournful, so sorrowful. Oh, we have our head down most of the time. Oh, how wonderful are those words then. And when we are in such a condition, be of good cheer. Oh, then we truly experience the power of his word, how it makes a blessed change in our souls. And he said unto them, it is I. Oh, my hearers, I wonder if there's any soul here longing, as I have longed for so many years, to have Jesus say, it is I. Isn't that your trouble? Aren't you filled with fear and concern that it is not Jesus? You have a voice speaking to you. You have words applied to you. But you wonder who's doing it. Who is it? They're so suitable. They're so applicable for you. But who is the speaker? Or are you a little different than me? Do you know the speaker? All my hearers, it's necessary for him to say, it is I. Oh, when he says it is I, then we are assured. And then we have the witness within that it is Christ that is speaking unto us. This, it is I, was a word of comfort to these disciples in the midst of this storm. Have you ever been in a storm? Have you ever experienced the trials of life? And has the Lord Jesus ever spoken to your soul? Has he ever come to you with his precious word and says, be of good cheer, it is I? Oh, how comforting are his words, my hearers. Oh, he knows how to speak a word in due season to that soul that is weary, that is troubled, that is cast down. All those words are worth more than all the gold and silver in this world for a soul that is on the narrow way which leadeth to life. He said unto them, be not afraid. I wonder how many of my hearers have been in that state that they were afraid. Oh, we are afraid of so many things in this life. We are afraid that we might lose our position, that we might lose our mind. We are afraid that we might become sick, that we may be afflicted by the hand of God, and that we will be unable to support our family and carry on in this life. Oh, we have so many things that come up in our minds that makes us afraid. But have you ever been afraid, my hearers, of meeting God? Have you ever feared that when death comes, you have to stand before this God? Oh, my hearers, so many times God's people are troubled concerning what's going on with him. Oh, they cannot always believe that the work is God's. They need that Jesus speaks to them and that he delivers them from all their fears. And he said unto the disciples, be not afraid. That took all their fear away. And now, my hearers, Peter, who was on board this ship, when he heard the voice of his master, it thrilled through his innermost soul, I believe. That was the voice that he had heard so many times. Oh, that was Jesus, his Lord, his King. And now when he heard this voice, he spake unto Christ and said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. We have here Peter acknowledging that Christ was the Lord. All walking on the sea, speaking unto them, his faith came so strong that he believed that this was the Lord. And now all he needed was a word from this Jesus. And then he would come to him. And Jesus, he spake unto him and said, come. Oh, we see Peter climbing over the top of the sides of the ship and going down into the water to walk to Jesus. One word, come. Oh, my hearers, you only need one word from Jesus. No matter how great of a sinner you are, how embedded you may be in this world, the Lord Jesus speaks one word, and that sinner must come. Oh, then we leave everything, we forsake everything, and we come to Jesus. We see this in Peter. He came over the top of the ship and onto the water, and he started to walk. See his faith, my hearers. How strong it was at this present moment that he had all his fears taken away before he had cried out in fear and he was filled with fright. But now he's walking to come to Jesus. And as he's walking to come to Jesus, we see him looking at his side. He looks because the wind is boisterous. The waves are being kicked up by the wind. And as he looks away from Christ, he begins to sink. And as he is sinking, fearing that he will sink down into the ocean, he cries out to Jesus, Lord, save me. All my hearers, I wonder how many souls have experienced something like this. You know, Peter didn't come to Christ of himself. When he heard the voice of Christ, he didn't jump overboard and start going to him. No, he needed a word from Christ before he would come to him. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come. Oh, we have so many people today. They can do wonders with faith. But Peter couldn't do anything until the Lord said, come. He was anxious to go. He had a desire to go. But that word, come, that was sufficient for Peter. That is what his faith fastened upon. And he started to go to Christ. But as soon as he looked away from Christ, he began to sink. Oh, my hearers, have you had a word from Christ? Has he bid you come unto him? Has he come to you in the means of grace, come to you in the gospel and said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden? And have you begin to come? Have you left everything? By that word you have been drawn to Jesus and you're coming to him. Oh, when we first are given to come, my hearers, we trample upon all trials and all afflictions upon the world and everything that is therein. Oh, we must come to him. He is the object. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer that we need. And to him we come. But oh, my hearers, just like with Peter, oh, we begin to look at the things round about us. We begin to look at sin and we experience its power within. And we have unbelief rising up in us. We have Satan coming and telling us that we are on the wrong way, that we never were on the right way. Oh, my hearers, there are so many things that come up in a soul when they're coming to Christ. And as they look at these things, they begin to waver. They begin to be troubled. Oh, they are looking away from him that spake unto them. And they are looking at these mountains, these waves, these winds that come over the soul. And they fear with a great fear that they shall sink forever and ever. I wonder if there are any sinking souls in my midst. Are you sinking? Are you fearing that it's lost, that it's ruined, that it's undone? Oh, then you will be brought to this little prayer of Peter. It's a short prayer, my hearers. Lord, save me. Is that your prayer? How often do you pray this? You know, we can pray this with our lips and with our minds. But are we in the extremity where Peter was? Are we sinking? Are we lost? we must be brought there, my hearers, that that prayer will ascend up unto Jesus. Lord, save me. Oh, that it was the prayer of each and every one of you gathered here this afternoon. Oh, you need to be saved, my hearers. Believe me, you're lost, you're ruined, you're undone. You do not believe this, or you surely would be crying with Peter, Lord, save me. And the Lord Jesus stretched forth his hand, and he lifted him up. He caught him, it says, and he lifted him up. And he said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? Oh, my hearers, has Jesus ever caught you? Have you ever been sinking? Have you ever come to the end of it? You couldn't go anymore. It was all wrong. It was all undone. It was lost. There was no use going on any longer. No use praying anymore. No use seeking God anymore. And has he come and stretched forth his hand? And has he lifted you up? Oh, my hearers, these are wonderful things to experience in life. It's when we come to the end, when we're sinking, and then Jesus comes. And then he stretches forth his hand. And then he lifts us up. And oh, how encouraging it is to be lifted up by him. The right hand of a person is a token of his favor, of his protection, of his love, and also of his power and of his strength. And when Jesus takes us by the hand and lifts us up, it's a token that he loves us, that he has a favor towards us, and that he'll never let us perish. Oh, no, my hearers, not one soul will ever perish for whom Jesus came into this world. Oh, what a blessing to experience this time and again in this lifetime. And all my hearers, the Lord Jesus spake unto Peter and said, O thou of little faith. How strong his faith had been a moment ago. It had led him out of the ship. It had given him to walk on the water. See how precious his faith. What a grace this is, my hearers, when given by the Spirit of God. It teaches us that by faith we can overcome all things. And now we see in a few moments that Peter's faith began to falter, that it became so weak that he began to sink. You ever experienced that? One moment you could believe. One moment there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And a few minutes later, you began to sink. You began to think it was all wrong again. Oh, my hearers, this is the way it goes, up and down. Sailing the sea of this life, going through the various troubles and trials that are met on the way to Canaan. And this man, Peter, he was then of little faith. You know, it's better to be of little faith than to be of no faith at all. Oh, the Lord says unto us, O thou of little faith. That's a token that we have faith, regardless of how small it may be. You know, it's in and through the weakness of our faith that we begin to sink. It shows that we have no strength in ourselves, that faith is a gift of God, and that it is by the operation of the Spirit of God that faith is increased, that is strengthened. Today, my hearers, we have so many people that have a strong faith. They never doubt. They never waver. They are never troubled. They never have any sinkings that they need Jesus to lift them up, to take them by the hand. They never experience anything like that. They're like telegraph poles. They're unmovable. But oh, if you have even a little faith, then the Lord Jesus may say to you, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? That's a sign, that's a token that you have this genuine faith. That faith that will carry you through all the storms of this life and lead you to Jesus to be with him in heaven above. Precious faith, my heroes, may you be given to ask the Lord to increase it if you have it, and if you have it not, how may it be your prayer, Lord, may thou give me, even if it be a grain of mustard seed of this faith, that I may not perish in my sins. Or he was then a man that doubted. Oh, you know it isn't good to doubt. It isn't good to be in unbelief. That's a great sin. But you know, my hearers, we come out of a state of doubt and unbelief. By nature, that's the state we're all in. We're under the power of unbelief. We come to the church, we believe the word of God, surely. But all unbelief has such a power over our minds. Unbelief keeps us from God, keeps us from Christ, keeps us under the power of sin. Oh, what a mercy it is, my hearers, if our eyes go open for the state and condition we are in. Oh, then truly, my hearers, we will desire to be let out of that state, and that God would give us true faith. For by faith, Peter left that ship. By faith, each soul leaves this world and goes to Jesus. All my hearers, Jesus then raised him up. And as he raised him up, they walked together to the ship. And immediately they got into the ship. And when they got into the ship, then we find those that were in the ship. They came and they worshiped. And they said unto him, truly, thou art the Son of God. Hadn't they said this before? Sure. Hadn't they believed that he was the Son of God? Oh, yes. But now their faith was confirmed. Their faith was strengthened more and more to believe that he who had come walking on the sea, who had spoken unto them in the midst of all their fears, who had raised up Peter, and who now was in their midst, he was the Son of God. Oh, my heroes, there's a time coming for every soul that you likewise will be brought to his most merciful feet, and you will be able to say, truly, thou art the Son of God. Oh, may he grant that every one of you, of my hearers, may experience this in this life, that when you come to die, you may be given to be with him in glory above. My time is gone, but that's all for today, my hero.